We are joined by Maulana Ibrahim Abam. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How is Maulana doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, under the circumstances, Allah Ta'ala has been kind, and we continue praying for afiyat and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fazl and his grace in granting us ease and granting us good conditions, and Allah Ta'ala granting us his bounties and his favors at all times.
Ameen. We make dua to Allah that Allah keep us all safe with good health, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the different bounties that we are enjoying. Maulana, this morning on the social program, the topic that we are looking at, it is one of the chapters also from the book, You Can Be the Happiest Woman in the World. We have been discussing selected chapters from this book and combating idleness and laziness.
Yes, Maulana, this is something that perhaps one of the barriers toward achieving happiness is being inactive and being lazy. The more active a person is, the more there will be personal satisfaction in his life. He will feel as if he's been productive. He will feel that he's doing something that is good, that is worthy of doing something. And in that particular regard, it makes a big, big, a major difference in his life. In fact, one way of combating anxiety and combating difficulties and challenges is to be active. Because if you are not active, you are going to be thinking more and more about things, and you are going to become overwhelmed by worry, etc. So the way to deal with the aspect of being happy, prosperous, afiat, is to have a very busy and productive life. And it is something that we should strive towards. We must have a very clear-cut program in our life to be able to use our time constructively and productively, because that will lend itself to a happy, prosperous life and keep us away from anxiety and unhappiness. And it is part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded and emphasized.
From the listeners, we'd love to hear from you. You can interact with us on 072-786-1548. That is our WhatsApp number. You can give us a call as well on 011-854-1548. The lines are open. Our engineer is standing by to take your calls. We are speaking about how to combat idleness and how to combat laziness, that a person should keep himself busy. Even if you have some problem or some issue, if you don't do anything or you don't get involved in something, then you spend all of that time worrying and the anxiety creeps up. But if you keep yourself busy, it takes your mind off things. You're able to be a bit more productive. So share with us your thoughts on 072-786-1548. Maulana, you can continue.
Yes. One of the things that, surprisingly, there is a word that is used in the Quran and the Hadith with regard to laziness. It is known as kasal. Now, in the Quran, there are two places where Allah Ta'ala used this. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. That when the munafiq and the hypocrites, they stand up in salat, they stand up lazily. Right? And then in another place, وَمَا مَنَعُهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَلَا يَعْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى. Again, something very similar, where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the hypocrites, that when they approach the salat, they do so very lazily. So this aspect has been used. Now, why salah? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoken about the aspect of laziness towards salah? And there is a reason with regard to it, because salat is something that is performed 5 times daily. Fasting, for example, is once a year. Hajj, compulsory, once in a lifetime. So when we look at that, we find that there is no doubt whatsoever that there is more emphasis with regard to Salat, and the aspect of laziness in terms of our ibadat is more with Salat than anything else. And then, of course, there are other things like Zakat. For example, there is a certain degree of physical joy in giving people. You feel good. But Salat is sometimes, you have to make an effort with regard to it. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Salat is difficult except for the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you look at that, therefore Allah Ta'ala has used the word kasal, laziness, to refer to Salat, and the quality of the hypocrites, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from this quality, is that they go towards Salat in a lazily manner. And may Allah Ta'ala protect us. So Allah Ta'ala tells us not to look at Salat as a burden and not to approach it in a way that you do it in a lazy fashion. There's another beautiful hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Shaitan ties three knots in the hair of a person, right? It could be, physical, it could be hypothetical, it could be something that there is a situation that it refers to. Shaitan wants you to be lazy with regard to doing the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Now, when you get up for Fajr, it is like untying one of those knots. You're untying one of those knots. When you go and make wuzu for Fajr, you untie the second knot. And when you go and perform your Fajr Salat, especially for men with Jamaat, then you untie the third knot. So look at how Shaitan makes an effort for you not to perform Fajr by tying knots upon you that you can't perform and you find it difficult to perform Salat. So this is an aspect with regard to, keeping in mind with regard to not being lazy in complying with the commands of Almighty Allah.
Yeah, that as a believer we do have the responsibilities that have been put on us, and we have to fulfill that. We should not be lazy, whether it's performing our salah or any other act of worship. And that's why, Mulana, we find also in some of the masnoon du'as where we seek protection from being lazy.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very amazing thing. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn wal-bukhli wal-jubn wa ghalabati al-dayni wa qahri al-rijal wa min al-kasli. One of the things that we ask protection from is kasal. Kasal means laziness. We ask Allah Ta'ala from protection for many things. Part of it is bukhal, wal jubn, wal kasal. Bukhal means miserliness, cowardice, and also laziness and inactivity. Subhanallah. Can you imagine a specific dua of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So if you want to overcome this, then one of the ways of overcoming it is through the means of making dua to Almighty Allah and making this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasli.
Stand through your interactions. Amara, what type of interactions would we like?
I would like to say that how do people, overcome the tendency towards laziness and inactivity? How do they motivate themselves to be active? Is there any tips? I will give some tips. There is a very interesting article, the different masks of laziness, part one, and then the different masks of laziness, part two. It is under, if you do a Google search, the different masks of laziness under productive Muslims. It is, I don't know if it's a website or it is an organization known as Productive Muslims. So you find that there is this whole particular aspect of productive Muslims, the different masks of laziness, part one and part two. And those who have access, and so today everything is, going to Google, it's worthy of doing a Google search on this particular article and reading it. I found it to be very interesting.
So to the listeners, let us know that perhaps there were some tips, something that you can share with us, something that you've picked up on to overcome laziness, idleness. Sometimes people do feel a bit laid back or they want to relax or they can't get going and they need to motivate themselves or look for motivation. What is it that you have found that has helped you and inspired you, motivated you to go after your goal, to occupy yourself, to keep yourself busy? Let us know, 072-786-1548. Maulana, you can continue.
Yes, Imam Raghib Isfahani, a very interesting definition. Now, Imam Raghib, anyone who knows about Islamic scholarship, knows that Imam Razib is an expert in defining things. So he gave the definition of laziness as lack of energy and enthusiasm of doing something. You should not lack the energy and enthusiasm for. What a beautiful definition. Lack of energy and enthusiasm in doing something that you should not lack the energy and enthusiasm for. So that is the definition of laziness, which is what a beautiful type of definition. Nevertheless, laziness is something that we need to seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from. Now, when we look at this whole aspect of laziness, Marana, I will give tips. I want to finish up this in today's program. But there is different type of situations that we show laziness, not only personally, right, but also in different ways. One is community laziness. The community is made up of individuals, and if individuals in the community are lazy, then the community will become lazy and lacking in enthusiasm. The sign of community laziness is the low civic role it plays to solve its own problems. Now, this is something that is absolutely not acceptable. You know, we're living in a community. It's part of our responsibility to see that our community is clean, to see that things work. And if, for example, it is tied to a particular government department, we need to have the infrastructure within our community to communicate and to be able to be proactive with regard to matters in our community. So let me just put it in short, that Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has taught us to seek protection from laziness. One way of laziness is community laziness. And the sign of that is a low civic role it plays to solve its own problems. We are coming to local government elections. And part of seeking protection from laziness and inactivity is we do not take part in that which involves our own community and our own civic responsibility.
There is a community we need to play our part. And I think, Malana, that was your message last night as well, that let us try and work together as a community, come together and do things for the community.
You know, Malana, there are many things like crime, poverty, unemployment, drugs are societal problems, are not only religious problems, but are societal problems. And in that, we need to have a broad network of people of different backgrounds to be able to solve that. If there is a problem in a community of crime, it's a responsibility of everyone to get together to be able to solve it. Why can't we do that? I mean, it's something that is so important. I remember Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one day someone asked him about, you know, the Indian political situation. Why did some of our ulama join hands with non-Muslims to fight against colonialism? What a beautiful answer he gave. I was in that majlis and he said, I don't know about all other things. I can only tell you, to give an example, he said, if in a street there is a very venomous snake, right? And this happens a lot in India. Maybe we don't see it in the urban areas, but in the villages, etc., it used to be. Then if in that neighborhood there are Muslims and non-Muslims, it's the responsibility of everyone in that neighborhood, Muslims and non-Muslims, to be able to tackle the aspect of the venomous snake. So these are community situations that we need to be more broader and work with everyone in the community to be able to tackle the societal problems. We all know about the complaining with regard to what's happening in South Africa, the potholes, and I don't know, nowadays not even the pothole, the dig holes. But whatever we need to do, let's start becoming active. You'll find many situations in many communities. You know, sometimes we look down upon other communities, etc. But when you look at their infrastructure, they have a community infrastructure to tackle crime and to tackle these type of things. Why are we having that community laziness that we can't do it? It's unacceptable. It's not right. So get together as a community. I must say, in our area nowadays, you know, you have the street WhatsApp groups. So every street has got a WhatsApp group. And it's quite amazing how that street groups have become active. You know, so there is one person, and may Allah reward him, that he becomes the the leader to liaise with City Power and Rainwater. So if any time a problem, he sees to it that a complaint is logged on. He sees to it that they come. He continuously phone in. Well, you know, we had one or two challenges in the last 1-2 weeks, but that community cohesiveness helped us tremendously. Within a short period of time, we found that the matters relating to our electricity and water were immediately resolved within, you know, half a day or something like that because of community cohesiveness. So do not become lazy in the community. Do something. You can complain till the cows come home. What are you doing with regard to it? Stop being inactive. Stop being lazy with regard to it. So one is personal laziness. We gave the commands of Almighty Allah Ta'ala with regard to that. We spoke about it. We gave the definition of laziness. We spoke about the aspect of how Allah has used the word kasal in the Holy Quran to refer to laziness in our salat, and may Allah Ta'ala protect us, because that is the quality of a munafiq. And then there are different types of laziness that manifest, and one of them is community laziness, which we need to rid ourselves of.
9:30 on the social program with Maulana Ibrahim Abam. This week we are speaking about combating idleness and laziness. Drop us a message on 072-786-1548. How have you worked it out? How have you overcome the tendency of laziness or idleness? What is it that you have done? Anything about laziness and idleness that you'd like to share with us? The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. We're going to take an ad break. When we come back, we'll continue with this discussion. This is the social program with Maulana Ibrahim Abam. This week, the topic is combating idleness, combating laziness. Drop us a message on 072-786-1548. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. Maulana, earlier on you mentioned, you know, there's different forms of laziness. You spoke about community laziness, and just looking at that article, there are other forms as well that they do speak about.
Yes, I don't know if there is any feedback that has come from people, but we can continue with regard to the so we do have different types of laziness. One is the community laziness, which I spend some time on. And then one of the aspects is educational laziness, Moana.
Ma, we do have a call online. Can we just go there first, yes, if Ma doesn't mind, before we continue with that? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Moana, you know what comes to mind is the proverb, and idle mind is definitely a devil's workshop. And no matter what happens in life, being good, doing good, and spreading good to people is a wonderful legacy to leave behind when you leave this dunya. I'd like to end with what Rumi said. And Rumi said, it's your road and yours alone. Others may walk with you, but no one can walk it for you. Now, before death takes away what you are given, give Allah Ta'ala what there is to give. Jazakallah khairan, Mawlana.
Jazakallah so much. So very pertinent point. Jazakumullah.
Jazakumullah khairan for that. You can continue to send through your messages on 072-786-1548. And the line's also open on 011-854-1548. Mawlana, you can continue.
Mawlana, one is the laziness of learning and developing ourselves individually and collectively as a community in our body of knowledge. As Muslims, where the first command was Iqra, read, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu has placed so much emphasis upon knowledge, and we know that there are different types of knowledge. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali had said there are two types of knowledge. One is divine knowledge, and one, he said, any branch of knowledge which is indispensable for the welfare of mankind, it is farz-e kifaya for the Muslim ummah to acquire it. And he goes on to say, katibbi wal hisab, like medicine and accounting. We need to have our medical people and people in different fields. Now, during the golden age of Islamic civilization, we can't romanticize it too much, but that's a reality. We were pioneers in all sciences. But when we became lazy and loved the comforts of this world, others took the torch of knowledge from us and continued the journey to impressive results. and sometimes, unfortunately, not with the ethics that is required. And they have become pioneers. They have taken up new and new things with regard to medical science and etc. Sometimes they do it for the sake of money. Now, if we complain about it, but instead of complaining on the sidelines, where are we? We are 1.6 billion people. Where are we with regard to providing the solutions? 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, we were providing the solutions. Now we are not. And really, sometimes when I look at people sitting on the sidelines saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is like this, vaccine is like this, that one is like this, this one is like that, right or wrong, whatever it is, you know, I'm not going to go into that particular debate because it's a never-ending debate. But all I will say is, where are we in the equation? Where are we, 1.6 billion people with such great resources, where are we? In Spain, when we Muslims were in the height, they were providing the solution. They were doing the cataract. People don't like when I say this, but really it provides a pathetic situation where we sit on the sidelines, we complain, but we've got no solution to what is happening. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And what is right? Where is the right? And we don't have that. And even if we do present something, it's not something that we have presented with proper research, proper type of analysis, proper type of trials, and then we have presented it as a solution, as a collective of the Ummah. No, we haven't. So we must confess that we have stopped progressing, and it is embarrassing for the Ummah that today we have situations that we don't have our own educational institutes which become the torchbearer in every science the way it was. And no matter how people try to belittle that, it's a flaw of the Ummah.
My message that has come through here saying that on the topic of combating laziness, the listener saying that when their late mum was alive, they used to have full days looking after the mother. She was sick for about 5 years or so. Since her demise, they've occupied themselves with Quran classes, trying to learn more, keeping yourself busy with the chores at home. And one thing that they find that really takes away laziness is reading books. This takes away laziness. Your mind is active. It really helps in combating idleness and laziness.
Yes, reading is so important. Unfortunately, it has become a lost art. Just as, you know, writing letters has become a lost art. People don't read. Nowadays, people only read, tidbits in 140 characters on Twitter.
Mm.
Now, that is so sad because, I mean, surely it's supposed to be more than that. So, yes, we have educational laziness, we have community laziness, and then we have personal laziness, and I like this. And I would like some tips. How do you try to... One of the examples that we can give is Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali was exceptional in terms of discipline in his time. Right? I speak to the students with regard to our Akabirin and our scholars. So this week I was speaking to them about Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali. And one of the things that is amazing with regard to Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali was his normal daily routine. So there are kitabs, and Dr. Abdul Arafi Rahmatullah Ali, one of the khalifas, and one of the last khalifas of Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali, has written almost an 8 or 9 page article on Mu'adh Thani. And he has entitled it The Routine of Mu'adh. So I found some amazing things in there, because one of the things he said, Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali, after Fajr, used to take a brisk walk. And in the walk, he used to make his awrad. He used to make his zikr. So when Mufti Taqi Usmani was in Lusaka, he came for a Bukhari khatam. I took, because the Darulum in Lusaka, there are graduates from the very same madrasa where I studied. So they insisted I come for a few days. So I noticed this. And Mufti Taqi Sahib also, after Fajr, used to take a brisk walk for about half an hour to 40 minutes. But in that, he shouldn't encourage anyone speaking to him. Now, for example, we go walk and we sit and we jab and we talk. So in that, he used to make his zikr. And all his zikr, he used to read it while walking. Mr. Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali also had that. And what was amazing with regard to him is that between It was up past 10, 11 o'clock till Qailula time before Zohar. He used to do writing. And in that, no one used to disturb him. That's the reason why he wrote 1,200 books. That there was a certain time in the day that he only spent in writing and did nothing else. And even when there were visitors who came, and they were prominent visitors, what Muhammad Rahmatullahi used to do was, he used to tell them, see, I'm sitting with you because you are my guest. But even in that, he said, out of that particular, just say, for example, he had allotted 2 hours to writing. Then he used to say, give me 15 minutes just to continue the trend, that I don't lose that trend, and there is consistency. So he used to excuse himself from there to do some writing, just to keep the routine. So every day he used to do writing, every day. You know, and that is why he was as productive as he was. So he has written books on tafsir, Bayan al-Quran. He has written there used to be a lot of questions that used to come to him. So he used to, some of the questions were to do with fiqh, and he used to reply to it. Some were to do with moral weakness, and he used to reply to it. And both of them has been gathered in remarkable books. So the questions and the answers that he gave with regard to people's moral weakness has been put together in a kitab known as Tarbiyatu Salik. And his answers to questions with regard to fiqh have been put forward in the kitab Imdadul Fatawa. Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. And one of the good things about Imdadul Fatawa is may say that prawns are permissible. This is a light-hearted thing that I'm saying from my side.
Ma, there's a few messages that have come through here, and they're speaking about enjoying the topic of laziness. And I think whenever we do speak about laziness, Ma, this is a message that comes up about the youth, and the listeners saying that this seems to be a serious issue with laziness. How do we keep the youth active? And nowadays they just want to chill and relax and sit back with their phones. Is there any way that we can get them active?
You know, I admire, and I tell you, whether ulama want to agree with me or not, whenever there is anyone in the community, my view would be this, that if anyone in the community is doing sports, doing football tournaments, right, and they're getting the youngsters out of their couches, the potato couch, they're not sitting there on the couch and doing nothing, support them. Support them, because look at the broader picture. They're getting the children out, because an idle mind is a devil's workshop. And if you're not going to get the youngsters, they got energy. If they're not going to consume the energy in something that is positive, they're going to do it in something negative. So, and you can't expect them to be in a masjid 24 hours, right? So, yes, we're going to keep them to salat in Jamaat times. Outside that, if there is anyone in the community who is doing things with regard to, you know, football tournaments, or athletics, or getting them, taking them out for trials, taking them out for hiking, you know, trekking, support it to the hilt. You know, support it, because that is something that is good. So right. let us go and do it. I mean, whoever is doing it in the community, but if you need any support, and if I can lend the support, I'll support you. If I have to do a small club to those people who are doing soccer tournaments, taking the youngsters out for hikes, I will do it, because that is something that we need.
Need to keep them active.
How are we going to do it? And the question, the person that asked the question, how are we going to do it? I don't know. It needs a collective effort. Everyone needs to put their shoulder to the wheel. Let's get our youngsters active. Because if there is no activity, then they are going to get involved in negative things.
And we all need to play our part. And I think, Ma, that's, you know what, the listener also saying that they found that whenever a person wants to start any good initiative in the community, and they want to get something going, whether it's for the youth or whether it's for the people of the community, they find that many people don't want to support it. They'll sit and they'll say that what is wrong with it, but they won't be able to support it, and that when it just dies out. So to support these different initiatives that people are starting in the community, also important, Ma.
Well, it's so true, man. I mean, if you can't do something, at least support it. Here we sit back and we just talk everything bad about everyone, but we do nothing with regard to it. I mean, come on, let's start becoming a little bit more active in this particular. If someone is doing something, if you can't do it, at least give some words of encouragement. And do some words of encouragement. If they're taking the children out to for hiking once a week, for example, just give an example. well, and support it. Because, I mean, can't you see the benefit with regard to it? It promotes health. It promotes activity. It promotes goodness. Go and see the nature. Why don't we have these type of things? I mean, I came to, someone asked me, and I came to be made aware of a hiking group who goes every week, and because there is a wide circle of that hiking group, they put together money and they help charitable causes.
SubhanAllah.
Right? SubhanAllah. Now, I see that there is a great amount of people who are nowadays going to for cycling. I hope it's all for the right intentions, inshallah. They're going out to go into the aspects of regard to, you know, health. Our cycling has become a big thing. At least it's something that keeps you active. And when you become active, it promotes your health. And when you are, it promotes your health, a strong believer is better than a weak believer, said our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Keep the body active, whichever way you feel. If you're a person that enjoys cycling, try and get involved in that, or hiking. There's so many different things that a person can do. Even just here in Gauteng, you'll find that there are different hiking trails. Get active. Don't just be sitting at home. Try and enjoy the different things that we can enjoy. Molana, I don't know, Mark, growing up, were you more of a soccer player or a cricket player?
No, nowadays we're getting old now, so I do swimming. You know, alhamdulillah, yesterday I did 18 laps, somehow or the other I managed to do 18 laps of swimming.
So yeah,
we tried to do it. I grew up in a swimming pool in Wombats. We used to, you know, very interesting, let me say, a very interesting type of thing. Maybe it's that type of confession. That time, you know, we used to have separate swimming pools for the Indians and the whites and the coloureds, etc., because of apartheid. So there used to be a fee to go into the swimming pool in Wombats, you know, 5 cents. So 5 cents from eight or 9 o'clock till 1 o'clock, 5 cents.
Right.
And then they used to close 1 to 2. That's quite amazing. You know, we haven't, nowadays, you know, many people won't even actually, you know, feel and know that things used to close between 1 and 2.
Right.
And there was a very amazing thing. Saturday, 1 o'clock, all shops had to close. If you sell an item to someone after 1 o'clock on a Saturday, the police would give you the stuff. They used to give you a fine. And what they used to do sometimes, the police used to send someone deliberately. So at 1:05, they knock on your door, and they tell you that you want to buy something. And you say, oh, chalo, let me make some money.
Right.
And you send it to them. The moment you send it to them, they come. They give you a fine. So after Saturday, after 1 o'clock, to sell anything to anyone was prohibited by law.
Mm.
And 1 to 2, nearly everything used to be closed. So even the swimming pool used to be closed. So we used to, just to save ourselves 5 cents, 5 cents, we should buy one ice cream at 5 cents. So we used to, 5 to 1, group of maybe 4 or 5 of us, used to go lock ourselves in the lockers, in the, you know, the changing rooms. And they used to close at 1 o'clock, then we should come back and swim again between 1 and 5 to 2. We go back again in the lockers and come back to save 5 cents.
Yeah,
that was the time, yeah. Talking of, anyway, Allah Ta'ala forgive us with regard to all what we did in our childhood days.
Interesting. Well, and swimming is quite good. I read somewhere that it works every part, every muscle in your body.
We don't do enough of it, man, because we're so busy. Anyway.
Mm. Well, earlier on, we mentioned that if a person doesn't keep themselves busy, this will, you know, lead towards sometimes worrying about things and anxiety and so on. And there's a listener here that's asking for some advice. They say that I need some advice. As a wife, I keep worrying and thinking about my husband all the time. The minute he leaves the home, my mind takes control over me and I keep making assumptions on him. Is there any way that I can overcome this? My mind keeps on going towards thinking of wrong, or the wrong that he, or to thinking wrong of him. Is there any way that I can, or what should I do to control my mind?
The thing is, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Stay away from a great amount of suspicion. Now, I'm not sure with regard to what type of anxiety is it. Is it because the safety anxiety? Let's face it, today whenever anyone goes out, you know, in our, we've got a family group, if anyone goes out and they're traveling, we make it ourselves that please, wherever you reach, send. So is it that anxiety with regard to the safety, or is it the anxiety with regard to something else, you know? there's a joke now. Don't regard it. I don't say Molly Bomb is the stuff. There's a joke with regard to something. A person was going in a shopping center, and he and his wife got separated, and he was looking for his wife, and he couldn't, you know, find his wife, and he was worried because it took some time. It was already 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So he saw a woman nearby, and he said, "Can I speak to you for a moment?" So he started speaking. She said, "What do you want to ask?" He said, "No, I'm only speaking to you because the moment I start speaking to someone else, you know, my wife will come." And immediately she came, you know. So this is a joke with regard to it. So if it is because of the other aspect, then, you know, it mustn't be unnecessary type of suspicious. Make dua, then Allah Ta'ala protect him with regard to any type of temptations, and Allah Ta'ala protect him from any type of calamities or anything that is not good. When, for example, they go, one of the things that I try to read with regard to my grandchildren on a daily basis, Ya Raqibu, seven times, you know, in the morning and the evening, read Ya Raqibu with three times, you know, the Rushri before and ending. It's Allah is the protector. So you're reading it seven times or 11 times. So Allah Ta'ala will protect our children, inshallah. Because really, in today's time, one of the ways of protection is to read our du'as, especially our morning and evening du'as, on a regular basis.
Ma, there's just a few minutes left. What are the other ways?
I got a whole article on the other aspects of how to, but now, and here's only the different types of laziness. I thought I'm going to finish it up, but maybe we'll continue with it next week. Family laziness. Right? If the family is lazy, the family is a cornerstone of the community. If the family is lazy, then proper upbringing would not be possible. The poor parents would be lazy to fulfill their duties. Today, you need active parenting. I think I made mention of it previously. I read one book long time ago, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. You need to stand up. Parents would be lazy to fulfill their duties towards the upbringing of the children. And if every member of the family does not have that love and care which drives them to fight laziness and go the extra mile for the family, then you will find weak family relationships. And even more concerning, a broken Islamic home. So you have family laziness. I mean, part of family laziness is no one puts their shoulder to the wheel for the upbringing and prosperity of the family. We need to be able to do that. How do we do that? Every member of the family needs to be able to fulfill his role. Pull up his socks, so to say, you know, there is a way with regard to seeing it. Pull up your socks. Do something with regard to the family. Nowadays, you know, actually, sometimes it's sad to see that, you know, we expect one person of the family to do it. We don't play our role, and then we complain about that person. Start becoming productive in terms of the family. So that, you know, we have that type of situation. Another type of is physical laziness. There's a common one that we all think about when we think of laziness. And it manifests itself in laziness towards exercising and moving our bodies for physical activities. Such laziness comes with a high health risk, as most doctors agree that most of the diseases of the 21st century are due to our sedentary lifestyle. I was listening to a clip of an Islamic scholar from America recently, and he quoted one or two physicians. He said, if you walk on a regular basis, it is almost like a cure for most ailments, including diabetes, including high blood pressure, if you walk on a regular basis. So, you know, really these type of things cannot be in the lifestyle of a believer to be inactive and to be lazy. If you look at the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go and do, I remember reading once with regard to Sirah, how much time of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was spent in expeditions in his lifetime. What a great amount of time. That is why they achieved what they achieved in such a small in short period of time. So stay away from laziness and inactivity. Become productive, become active. It brings about a world of goodness in every aspect of our life.
Ma, Jazakumullah Khairan. There's just a few minutes left. Anything else Ma would like to add on before we conclude?
No, Ma, there's a lot of things. Even, for example, financial laziness, right? Laziness from seeking the different doors of sustenance, right? If we look at our Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was a carpenter. Idris alayhi salatu wasalam was a tailor. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to be an iron smith, right? Allah Ta'ala used to make the iron soft it is hand. Now, normally when you used to take iron, you have to put it, and anyone has seen it. I don't know if anyone has seen it. For example, if you see someone doing a horseshoe, they put that particular iron into the fire, and then it becomes soft, and then they mold it accordingly, right? They mold it. It's quite a thing to see. But Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, the iron used to be soft on his hands. You don't have to put it in the fire. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasalam was a shepherd. They earned their living by making some effort. They did not rely upon other people. So, you know, this is the way of our Sharia, to be active, to be active in every facet of life. And may Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of understanding.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Amma, for the lovely program. And inshallah, we continue with the discussion next week.
Inshallah, Aziz.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us to the end of the program this morning. The podcast will be available shortly for those that would like to listen or share it. Look for it on our different social media platforms. It's now time for the 10 a.m. news bulletin. After that, you'll be in the company of Apa Mara. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.